Welcome, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. The inward witness. Professor, the local church is the most powerful thing on the face of this earth. Jesus said the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, but only if it's a witness. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations as a witness and then as evidence, and then the end shall come.
Holy Spirit will come upon you to be witnesses.
To be witnesses. Yes. Now, you were saying...
This new covenant is something different now.
Yes, it is.
Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I'll read these to you real quickly. But this shall be the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law, singular law, in their inward parts and write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, they shall be my people. That's covenant talk. Hebrews 8, give me another one here, Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind,
yes,
and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, they shall be to me a people. Got the same thing in Hebrews chapter 10, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. Oof. I'll put my laws in their hearts and their minds will I write them.
Yes, yes.
This law is written in my heart. What law are we talking about? It's the law of love.
Yes, it is.
To be a witness of that.
Yes, it is.
How do I know that? John 13, a new commandment
yes,
I give
is.
Unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. Mm-hmm. By this shall all men, or now they'll witness this.
Yes.
They'll know that you're my disciples if you have love one for
love
another.
Love one another.
One commandment for a new and better covenant.
Yes.
And it's love. And that's the inner witness.
And then you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13th verse. We having the same spirit of faith.
Yes.
According as it is written. That's the key. It is written. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and so forth. Now,
let this mind be in you that was in Christ. This is the mind right here.
There's two incidences that I want to tell you about.
Yes, sir.
Brother Hagin was preaching in El Paso. There are a lot of tape recorders down, and like we used to do it in the old days. And he went to jump off of the platform, and he actually stepped in somebody's tape recorders, but he dodged it and really hurt his arm. There was a nurse there, and so she called the doctor. On the way to the hospital, the Lord spoke to him. He even asked, did any of you hear that? His wife was sitting right there. It was so strong, to him it was audible. But remember now, he was on the bed of affliction for 17 months listening to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. He had the advantage of his spirit was so tuned. The Lord said, I'll fix this. I have everything prepared. I will fix this for you, but I'll talk to you about it in a moment. Well, come to find out, the doctor told him, he said, all the ligaments here in your arm and so forth. He said, this is worse than a break. And he said, you'll never be able to do this. So he had it all fixed up, and he was in the hospital just for observation. Miss Aretha had just been there visiting with him. She left, and he was just propped up there in that bed. He's fine. His observation, he's going home. The door was open about 8 inches or so, and he heard footsteps coming down the hall. And he said, he just turned and looked, and when he came through, it was a pair of Roman sandals came through that door. And he said, I looked up, and it was Jesus. He said, he walked over and took the chair that Aretha had been sitting in and pulled it up to the bed. He said, now, this is the last time I'm going to lead you like this. He said in the, and he talked to him about the prophet's ministry for about 45 minutes. He said, you got in trouble with me. He said, I called you and anointed you in the prophet's ministry. And you've been going around saying you're a teacher and a prophet, and you got that out of line and got in trouble. I was not able to protect you on that platform. He said, you remember the church, the large church that kept asking you, wanting you to come. They're large and so forth, and a little small church. And he said, you just had a good feeling on the inside about it. But he said, Lord, that's a little small church, and this is up before Christmas. He said, you remember you kept tearing that up to the big one, trying to ride them back? He said, that was my spirit trying to tell you it's not my will for you to be in that church. Mm. Now you go to that little church. So he went. Mm-hmm. It's right before Christmas. In this little church, he got there. Oh, Brother Hagin, he said, we're a farming community. We had a cotton crop failure. We had a tomato crop failure. And he said, Christmas is coming up. So the Lord began to lead him. And he said, now listen. You allow me to receive that. Don't mention that cotton crop thing and that tomato crop failure anymore.
No more.
He said, you're putting failure into the minds of your congregation. Mm-hmm. Well, he caught on. So he began, here's the point. He began to receive the offerings about the one he had the inward witness about. And the people were ready to give. It was the pastor that had the failure. And so they built an annex on a Sunday school annex, and a man in the lumber yard there in town found out about it. He gave them all the lumber. Mm-hmm. Wow. And they had an old potbelly stove in there, and so he kept receiving offerings, and they put in an air conditioning system. Now, to make a long story short, here's what the Lord told him. He told the Lord, he said, now, you know what my budget is. He said, you write down exactly what you need in that church and you tell your ministering spirits to go out and get it. First chapter of Hebrews, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation? Mm-hmm. And he said that church began to grow and grow and grow. And he said, at the end of it, he said, five grown men and their families came into that church because they no longer had a tomato crop failure. The problem was not in the people. It was in the mind of that pastor. He had to change that pastor's mind from failure to success. Now,
from flesh. He's seeing it from the eyes of flesh rather than...
Now, let's come way this way. Two men, I knew one of them particularly, lived in Troy, Michigan. And, it is Dan and Joe Nanowski. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe and Linda were good friends of Gloria and mine, and with Brother Hagin and all of us, and Blaine and Helen Amberg and all that group. And Joe's a funny guy. You get really tickled at him. But a young man had flown them in a Beechcraft King Air from, he was not a professional pilot. Well, they weren't paying him to do it anyway, but he was a member of the church. They came to see Brother Hagin. He said, Joe, why don't you and Dan spend the night with me? No, Brother Hagin, we can't. We got to get back. He said, Dan, Joe, spend the night with me. Joe, you ought to stay. No, Brother Hagin, we can't. He said, Joe, I'm begging you to spend the night with me. Oh, wow. No. Got to get back. Oh, wow. Got to get back. Now, I've landed at that airport. If there's a lake right here, and Troy sits right here, and the city, and the airport is right, it's a nice airport, I've landed there, mm-hmm. but it's right here, and sometimes it'll just fog over. So they were late that night getting in. Detroit is right here 25 miles away. Now, like I said, this man, not a professional. I know exactly what I would have done. I wouldn't have messed with it. Keep checking the weather going in, and it didn't get any better. Now, I'd just called Joe up here. I said, Joe, Troy is socked in. We're going to Detroit. We get over there. I'll see to it that you get a car. But this young man decided he's going to take a look. So in that 0-0 condition, mm-hmm. he tried to take a look and hooked a power line, and they died. Wow. Brother Hagin had it in his spirit. He said so later. Mm-hmm. You don't ever violate those things. Mm-hmm. Now, in the aviation world, IFR is instrument conditions. VFR is clear. Visual flight rules. There's a saying in aviation. It's a hard saying, but you have to go by it. It was VFR at the funeral.
Yeah.
And it was.
Now, what you just described with Brother Hagin in that situation, he didn't tell him what was going to happen. The ministry of the prophet in the New Testament is totally different. He doesn't tell you what you should do. You can see it with Paul. Paul is told by a prophet, you're going to go bound in chains to Jerusalem. He didn't say, well, you should do that or you not should.
He took his belt and bound and said that.
Yep. And it was Paul's decision to do what was in Paul's inner witness to do. So don't go to a person or expect some prophet to tell you what you ought to do. You're going to have to learn how to listen to the inner witness for yourself. We live in a different time. The Holy Spirit is in all of us now, not just in the... You didn't have access under the first covenant. You didn't have access to God. You had to go through a priest.
Yes. Yes.
Or through Moses. You didn't have that. You have that now. And we got so many people that get so confused about that today because, well, the prophet said this about an election. The prophet said this about that. Or somebody asked me not too long ago, what prophet do you follow? They asked me that. That was the question that was asked to me. Right. And I'd be ashamed to tell you where they asked me that. But they said, what prophet do you follow? And I went, what? Well, I follow Jesus Christ. Yes, I guess the second one next to that was I get to serve Brother Copeland in following Jesus.
Don't you dare follow what I say.
But I'm not following him for guidance in my life to that regard. You know what I'm saying?
Even if I say, thus saith the Lord, you check it out. Amen. You don't say, thus saith Kenneth. If I find it out, I'll get on your case like a chicken on a June bug.
We have so many people that are trying to use ministry as a ladder. Ministry is not a ladder, it's a table. Right. You serve. I have people ask me all the time, how'd you get on the program with Brother Copeland? I want to get on the program like with Brother Copeland. How'd you do that? I've got my faith out to be on the program. You understand? I didn't do it.
You know what my mother would say? They'd come to her. I really would like to talk to your son. I really need to spend some time with him. She would say, well, pray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not about to go tell him you want time
That's
with
exactly
you.
Right.
She could not afford to do that. Right. Now, if she had told me that, I'd have done it because I honor her.
Yeah.
But she knew that, and she was not about to do something like that and put me in that position. This inward thing, practice the presence of God.
That's it, right there.
Talk to him. talk to me.
My sheep know my voice.
Yes,
you'll get
he
to
said.
The place where you'll learn to know the
and
voice.
If you listen,
you'll hear him teach at the level of prophet, just like Brother Hagin telling him, I'm begging you, don't do it.
Yeah.
Now, he couldn't tell him what to do.
If he'd said that to me, I said, good, I'm coming to your house. You got an extra bed? You're going to have to feed me. You're going to have to put me up because I'm not about to leave this town. There's nobody that busy. But I had to learn that. But I learned a lot of things out of aviation itself. But, I mean, if I just have an unction, what's the same thing? Unciones, in Espanol, anointing. That, and it comes up, don't go home today that way.
That's right.
In Dan Stratton's church, 9/11, there was a man that commuted, and he's in Dan's church, and he worked in the trade center is what I'm trying to say. He was driving to the station with his daughter. She said, Daddy, couldn't we just stop and have something to eat or something? I don't ever get any time with you. You just take me to school and go get on the train and go to work. He said, I don't see why not. Dan told me, that guy's never late. Mm. He was 15 minutes late that morning. You see what the Lord was doing? Don't go in there. Something like 85% of his congregation worked in the World Trade Center, and none of them were there, or there was one man had on a white shirt and a dress suit. He walked out of all that rubble, and his shirt wasn't even stained. And he had been teaching for days how to hear the voice of the Spirit. The Lord had it in his heart.
And didn't even realize it. So he's preaching from that level. You preach all the time from the level of prophet.
Yes, sir.
And if people will listen, they'll hear a prophet speak. Can I leave with one more verse?
Please do.
Galatians chapter 5.
Oh, yes.
Paul is writing to us. I'm going to go verse 14, then 17, 18. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 17, for the flesh, this is what putting a fleece is, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Look at verse 18.
But if you
be led by the spirit, you're not under the law. When I first read that, I thought, did that just say what I thought it said? Yes, it did.
And what else did it say? This is the fruit.
The fruit.
Of the Spirit.
Now, fruit.
Glory to God.
Fruit can grow.
Yes.
Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love can grow in me, but the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. I don't need to go any further than right here to pray, because this is where love is. It's in me now. It can grow in me.
Yes.
But it's in me. And I'm not under, I can't mix that way of receiving from God, the law way, with my new covenant way, because the Spirit is in me. That's
the seal. I never miss an opportunity to tell Gloria Jean how much I love her. Never. Not ever. I don't know how many times a day I tell her that. If I just get an opportunity, I'll just grab her up. I'm practicing my love for her. We don't say ugly things to one another. Never have. Well, I'm not going to start now.
Amen.
And when I tell people that I'm never sick, why are you never sick? No. But I had to act on the Word of God, and I saw it one day in Exodus, and I just settled it forever. But now here's the thing. You've heard me say it over and over again, but I'm going to say it to you over and 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 over. Two things. Don't you ever, 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 ever ever again feel sorry for yourself. Don't you ever do it. That brings on depression, which brings on grief, and you hadn't lost anything. I know. I had to learn that. Every night, I don't care where I am in the world, right there at home, if I'm on the road somewhere, I call Gloria before I go to bed and tell her I love her. Every night, I can't remember back far enough to remember how long I've been doing this, Greg. Mm-hmm. And I see it in my mind. And I see the Lord up here, and I'm down here watching him and listening to him. And the young lawyer came up to him, testing him, and said, which is the greatest commandment?
Yes, he did.
And he said, the greatest commandment of all is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, renew your mind, all your mind and all your strength or all your wealth. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. For on this hangs all love, hangs all the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. And I say, oh, but Master, you said in John 13:34, I give you a new commandment that you love one another even as I have loved you. Every day, every day, every day. Every day of my life. This is in me in abundance because I got it out of this book.
That's right.
This is a love book. It's a love letter to the world. And the first half of it is hard because it was hard. Mm-hmm. You think it wasn't hard on Jesus?
Hadn't been ratified yet, but now it has been.
It has been.
And here's the thing I've learned from the Holy Spirit. He will not compete with the internet.
No.
Social media, television, football, anything else.
No. I don't have time for that. I may watch a little football and baseball because I like it.
Yeah.
I used to just, I got to read that. When I was in Tulsa, I fasted my newspaper for 5 days and hadn't gone back to it yet. That was 56 years ago. I don't need that. I could care less. Well, who won the World Series? Well, who won the Super Bowl? Amen. Yeah. I'm a whole lot more interested in...
being led from here.
Yes. And my great-grandson now is playing football. I'm interested in his game.
That's right.
That's right. I wanna know where little Kenneth is playing. Yes. His name's Kenneth Aaron. Yes. And we're out of time. I know you got things from this. Amen. Why don't you write and give us your testimony?
Yes.
We'll be back in just a moment. Glory to God. If you live your life by faith, you never have to change your lifestyle because of the times. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's the way we must be. Whose report will we believe? We believe the book. We prosper if anybody else does or not. Because we know the laws of prosperity.
Join us for the New Year's Eve service with Kenneth Copeland at Eagle Mountain International Church on Sunday, December 31st at 7 p.m. Central. To learn more, go to kcm.org today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Brother Copeland and Professor Greg Stevens taught us about following the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit and walking by faith in the blessing of the Lord should be our way of life. God's plan for every believer is to prosper, be in health, and live in freedom and abundance. When we put the Word of God first place and make it final authority in our lives, we are positioned to receive God's supernatural provision. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 shares the attitude of giving. He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously will also reap generously. Let each one give as he has made up in his mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. As you give today, sow your seed in faith according to the word of God. God's wisdom is available to you. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let me pray for your abundant harvest. Father, on behalf of every sower today, we thank you for ministering to us the seed that we sow so that you can multiply it in abundance. And we thank you because you give us the ability not to lack in any good thing. Thank you so much for increasing the fruit of our righteousness, for enriching us with all bountifulness, providing us sufficiency in all things so that we can continually abound in every good work. You're so good, God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, partners, for your faithful prayers and support. Because of you, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have been able to send the love of God and the message of faith to people around the world, from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle. If you have a prayer request, call our prayer line. We have licensed prayer ministers who are trained in the Word of God to pray in faith with you. Receive God's promise to you, then give him praise for your victory. The battle is won, and faith made you an overcomer. Do what the word says in Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
I'm going to close this in this Friday, what the Apostle John wrote to the churches. Now has come salvation, strength, the kingdom of God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, their witness. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives unto death. I've given him my life. We have nothing to fear in death. Nothing. Praise God. We've overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
The word of our testimony.
And this, the love book. Love letters to the world. Love letters to the church. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, he is.
Whoa. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.